obviously with our theme, lift up the name of Jesus. And of course, on that Sunday morning, we preached a whole sermon on that, on how that we're just supposed to lift him up like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He's supposed to be lifted up. And then he says there in John 12, that if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men. And of course, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to try to twist anybody's arm to get them to come to church. We're not supposed to beat them over the head with a Bible, all that kind of stuff. Just lift up Jesus and let him do it. And that's kind of the philosophy that we have on everything. We'll preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, but let the Holy Spirit do all the convicting and growing, and that's just between you and God. We're not going to come follow you around and make sure you're doing right, all that kind of stuff. God can do a whole lot better job than I can. But we saw that at the, I guess on Sunday night, we talked about the other things that we're supposed to lift up. I believe it was lift up our eyes unto the hills, lift up our prayers and things like that. So we talked about what we're supposed to lift up. And then I think the following Sunday night, I started an ABC of the names of Jesus, and we did part one, we did A, B, and C, and we just started doing three letters at a time all the way through. And I believe it was it S that had that this basically took over the whole night, or we'd have been here for a while. And so now tonight we are on X, Y, and we will throw a fourth one in there, Z, because there's not a lot of X's and so forth. And I had to do, I had to manipulate a little bit to get some X's to go along with the theme there. But we're going to preach on tonight the ABCs of the name of Jesus, part 9. So we've done this 9 times, and that's what we're going to look at tonight, was the Y, W, X, Y, and Z. And when we started, we talked about what was in a name. And if your name is mentioned, whether it's at work, something comes into their mind. If your name is mentioned at church, something comes into their mind. If your name is mentioned at a family reunion, something comes in the mind. And the Bible says even a child is known by his doing. So we have a testimony. We mentioned that a little bit this morning, that Jesus had a testimony, but he didn't make himself of a reputation. He just went around doing good, the Bible said, and the word got out. And that's what we're supposed to worry about. We're not supposed to try to create a reputation, create a following, as a lot of things are out there today. I've got to have this many followers and this many likes, and I've got to create it. And if you just do right and live like God wants you to do, he'll take care of all that. And he'll give you the testimony that you need to have and so forth. But so we looked at what was in a name, and we saw testimony / reputation. Also in a name is usually when you hear that person's name, you think of their personality. Like, we have some personalities here at our church. If your name's mentioned, maybe you're in that jokester personality, or that solemn, dry sense of humor personality, or you're talking way above everybody's head and everybody just gives you the charity laugh. That's just your personality and so forth. And but everybody, obviously, I want everybody to get treated the same with love and things like that. But personality's in a name, and of course, character is in a name. Character, I've been taught that my whole life. Character is what you are when nobody's looking. Character is what you are when the lights are off. Character is actually what Jesus sees and things like that. So character is in a name. And then we started it with, inside that name, there's different hats that we put on. And so during the day, you might take off a hat and put a hat on, different things like that. Like I gave my example here, that first of all, I'm a Christian, and I want to wear that hat all the time. I don't want to ever take that one off. I want to be a Christian and live and look and act and talk and behave like a Christian all the time. That's a hat I wear. But then I'm a husband and I'm a good one. Thank you. And so I put my husband hat on, and she did it just right. It could have been a little louder, but anyway, I have that husband hat and so forth. And I try to be a good husband. We kind of rotate a little bit on who brings the coffee. I think I get more of the rotation than she does. I bring the coffee more than she does. But anyway, I put that husband hat on, and I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church and so forth. Then I have even though they're grown and gone, I still have a dad hat. And for advice and for, Dad, what would you do in this situation? Or, Dad, could I borrow some? you have your dad hat. And then, of course, I'm still a son, even though I'm grown and gone. And I still have that son hat. And now for the last year and a little bit. I've had a pastor hat that I could put on, and I try my best to be available to talk, to pray, to counsel, to befriend, anything I can do as a pastor, study, and so forth. So I put that hat on. And of course, in that, I believe that, you know, I hope that I'm more than a pastor. It's kind of like, you know, with Jesus, the Bible talks about, you know, a friend of Jesus. And I hope I become friends to everyone here as well, not just, oh, there's the pastor, behave. No, I want to be friends too. But anyway, that's different hats. And so we saw that in names. And so we've been going through A through Z in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look tonight at some places in the Bible where it says that he has these character traits. He has this hat that he's wearing, all these things about the name. And so the first one we're going to look at is in John 14:6. And we're starting with the W's tonight. And so this is more like a Bible study than a message, but we'll just go through these. I've enjoyed it. Obviously, you cannot. The Bible says if somebody tried to write down every good deed that he did while he was here on the earth, that the world could not contain the books. That is how awesome our Savior is. That is how awesome Jesus is. You can't exhaust it. You can't embellish it. You can't overdo it. You can't make it sound better than it is. He is just amazing. He's awesome. So in John 14:6, it says here, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, and there it is, that's a W, the way, the truth, the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, of course, you know, if we would say, you know, I am the best, or I am the only, and I, you know, that would be braggadocious, and that would be prideful. But he was not being braggadocious or prideful, he was just stating a fact. That he said, you know, obviously I created this world, and the fullness thereof, I created you. I saw that Satan sinned, and he got kicked out of heaven, and then I saw that you were born in a sin nature, and there was a problem, and I fixed it. So I am the way. I'm not being braggadocious here. I'm just letting you know that I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the way here, the definition of way would be a thoroughfare or a way of travel. Like if you were going to say, okay, I'm going to go to Louisville. Well, what way are you going to take? Most of us would pull out our phone and type in, and it would give you the fastest route. It would give you maybe without using tolls, with using tolls. It would maybe use highways or, you know, country roads, things like that, and you would pick the way to get there. And of course, that's not the way you get to heaven. There's only one. It would not give you different choices and things like that. So a thoroughfare or the way of travel, it also means transportation from place to place. And so my way home tonight is in my Silverado out there. And again, I know I'm in Ford country, so I'll behave myself. Again, I've had a pickup truck my whole life. There was only one time in our marriage that I got rid of a pickup truck, and I had a Ford Tempo with a bent bumper. I mean, it was stick shift, though. Woo! I mean, but I had that for a year or so, and then I had to have a truck. And so I'm just a redneck that has to have a truck. And I like nice trucks. And praise God, he gave me one, and it's paid for, and I have the title, and it's nice, and so forth. And I even get ridiculed for my cool rims, all right? They're red, like the Georgia Bulldogs, amen? And so forth. But that's my way from here to my house. And now, I guess come Thursday, I won't go that way. I will go that way, all right? But that's my mode of transportation. And Jesus says, hey, I'm the way to get you from this earth to heaven. I am the way. He's way better than a Silverado. He's way better than the F-150. But anyway, we see here he's the mode of transportation. So, and then he's also, the way out of this building is through the door. Of course, if it was an emergency, we would throw a chair through the window and climb out that way. But there's, you know, the way is the door. And the Bible says that he's the door. And he's the only door. And so Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other. So he's the only way. For there is none other name under heaven given among whereby we must be saved. And so there's only one name that you can get salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. Another one is this, 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator. I believe that's supposed to be 2. Yeah, I think it's 2:5. He's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So these three verses here say he's the way, not a way. He is the way. And there's only one name under heaven where we must be saved, and that there's only one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the way. Lift up the name and lift up the way, and that's Jesus. The second W we're going to look at is found in John 4, if you want to turn over a few pages, John 4, 14. And this verse calls Jesus the well of living water. And praise the Lord, we heard Brother Hamby talking about digging of the wells. And there's principles in the Bible that when you dig a well, yes, it's hard work. Yes, it takes time. It takes much effort. But if you take the time to dig that well, a lot of people are going to be able to, have access to it, be sustained by it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole principle of digging that well, that they can have it. And of course, there are several places in the Bible where it talks about wells. We know the woman at the well. Jesus talked to her and basically told her the sins that she was living in right then and all the sins that she had been doing. And of course, she had some accusers. And he told them, if you're without sin, cast the first stone. And looked up and they were all gone. And he told her, neither condemn I you. And he says, he was talking about drink of the living water. But in John 4:14, it says this, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. This shows that, one sip of it is satisfies your thirst forever. You'll never thirst again. And, in our mind, we think, I've worked or I've been playing a sport. I'm thirsty. I need to quench my thirst. But I'm going to go back out there and I'm going to need another sip in a little while and so forth. But Jesus, he satisfies it the first time. It says here, but water that I shall give him, be in him the well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And so, of course, we're supposed to hunger and thirst after righteousness, but we need to have Jesus Christ, that well of living water, springing up into everlasting life. So any other water would cause us to thirst again. So if it's based on our work, it might satisfy our feelings for a while. It might satisfy our conscience for a while, but it's going to come back around because it's not been satisfied. We would have to continue to work and continue to work, but we know that's not the way to heaven. So he's the well of living water. Third W is this. He was the wisdom of God. And this is found in 1 Corinthians 1:24. The wisdom of God. And the Bible says, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then, of course, the next verse talks about how that the I'm going to paraphrase here, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest man. And then the strength or the weakness of God is stronger than the strongest man. And so, of course, he's saying here that the wisdom of God is in his Son. It says it right there. The power of God and the wisdom of God is wrapped up in Jesus. The fourth W is a wise master builder. Wise master builder, and I've heard a song about this, that Jesus is the master builder. We know the Bible talks about him being the chief cornerstone, and we're supposed to, he told Peter, he said, Peter, you're a little pebble compared to me. I am the chief cornerstone, and upon this rock I will build my church. Peter wasn't the first pope, and it was the church is not built on Peter. He was talking to Peter, but he said, Peter, and if you look in the Greek and the translation there, little pebble is Peter. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And so the church is built on Jesus. And so it says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. So Jesus is, or Paul is speaking to him of Jesus. He says, I have laid the foundation, and another man built thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And so Jesus said, look, I'm the chief cornerstone. I'm the foundation. Everything that's built, salvation is built on me. Your Christian life is built on me. Now you have to add to it. It's kind of like Jesus put out salvation. He said, okay, here's salvation. Here's the plan. But I want my Bible. I want the Holy Spirit. I want a soul winner involved. And so we need to take heed. Let's not add to the Bible. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and then be perfect the rest of your life and you'll be able to keep yourself safe. That's not building wise on the foundation. That's adding to it. Same thing here. You're going to lose your salvation once you lie or once you do something deceitful. God's going to say, no, that's not building on that. And it's up to us. And so that's why the Bible says, let every man take heed how he buildeth. So it's not only building salvation on the foundation, but building our life. Again, God's not going to make us all robots. And he's not going to come down and force us to live like that. But we take our prayers and pray to him. We take the word of God and study it and apply it and live it. And that's how we build. And so we've got to take heed on that. And then the Bible says in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings. In other words, that Jesus is the foundation. And you've got to build on that. Okay? If you hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man which buildeth his house upon the rock. And of course, we know the rest of that story. The parable there is that, you know, a wise person is going to build on the foundation, which is Jesus. And if he does that, he builds his life on the rock. When the storms come, he's standing on the rock. And we have songs like Till the Storm Passes By. And we have songs like, He's in My Boat, and so forth, that my son wrote, and things like that. That God helps us through those storms because we've been built on the rock. But then the verse goes on to say that if the person builds on the sand, in other words, he's building his salvation on works, or he's building his salvation on baptism, or he's building his salvation on any other thing other than Jesus Christ, when the storm comes, he's going to be destroyed, just like a house built on the sand. So we see that the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on the house, and the one that was built on the rock fell not, but the one that was built on the sand, obviously it was destroyed. So we see that the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we see here the wise master builder, he built this world and the fullness thereof, the Bible says. Then he also built a way to salvation. And then he's a wise master builder. So not only did he build the world and everything is in it, he built the way of salvation. Then he also says that I've gone to prepare a place for you. So he's building you a mansion in heaven. But then he also says, hey, I've left you the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to help build your life. I've given you the church. I've given you Bible study. I've given you preaching. I've given you all those things to build your house on. I'm the wise master builder. So he built our life. And if we'll let him, he'll do a lot better than we can. It's kind of like the person that has the patent or the person that designed the instrument or whatever we're looking at. He knows it inside and out. He knows what its purpose is. And, of course, Jesus built that. And so he has the patent on our life. Then somebody that has the blueprints would be a lot better off than somebody that says, we'll just build it. We'll just guesstimate. We'll just, throw it up there, make it look right. When you get finished doing it that way, the person that went by the blueprints, their house or their building is going to be a whole lot better than the person that was winging it or eyeballing it. Oh, it looks good to me. Nail it. All right? And the old builder's adage says, beat to fit, caulk to fill, paint to match. That's not a well-built house, okay? You want to go by the blueprints, and he gave us the blueprints in the Word of God. He's also the strength. He's also has the wisdom. So he is the wise master builder. And one more W. No, we got two more W's. The second one is he was a witness. He was a witness. Now, we're supposed to be a witness, but the Bible calls Jesus a witness. And Jesus in Isaiah 55:4 says this, behold, I have given him. And so God obviously gave Jesus, I have given him for a witness to the people. And so he was come down and supposed to do the will of the Lord, the will of God that had sent him. He was supposed to witness to the people. And it says here, he's also made him a leader and a commander to the people. That was prophesied in Isaiah 55:4. I've made him a witness. I've allowed him to be the leader and the commander. A couple other places where it says that Jesus is a witness. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness. So Jesus, if we receive the witness of men, and the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And so again, we have the witness of men. Men are out there. There's different denominations. There's different opinions. There's different even beliefs about God. And they're giving you the witness. I don't believe in God. That's their witness. I believe in this, and they call Buddha or Muhammad or anything else, and that's their witness. But we see here that Jesus was the witness of God, and God is testifying of his Son. This is the way. This is the wisdom. This is what you need to build on. And so he said he was a witness. Another verse is this, 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify. That's what a witness does. They testify. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. And so we're supposed to witness of the witness. And the last one is John 3:11. Verily, verily, That basically means truly, truly, listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye have received not our witness. And so, of course, we know the Bible says that Jesus came to His own, but His own received Him not. And how many times do we go out and testify and witness of the witness, and they receive not our witness? But that does not give us an excuse to stop. He didn't stop. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He still died for them, and so forth. So we're supposed to keep going and testify of the witness. And the last W is wonderful. And we started with this one, how that you cannot over-exaggerate Jesus and His name, how wonderful He is. And of course, this was found in Isaiah 9:6, and we've read this several times through the alphabet. Why? Because there's so many attributes or adjectives in this verse about Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called." And here's the last one that we'll talk about, Wonderful. He was called also the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But He is wonderful. And again, I won't take time to try to tell you how wonderful He is, because I'll get to crying. Because I think He is amazing. And obviously my salvation, my chance to serve Him, the things I get to do for Him, how He provides for us, how He guides us, things like that. He is just wonderful. And it's easy to lift up His name and telling people how wonderful He is. Look, and don't try to say, you just got to believe me, I'm smarter than you. Don't try it that way. Just say Jesus is awesome. He's wonderful. And that's how, and let just lift Him up, let Him do the drawing. And again, some people won't listen, they won't have it. And I lied in the pulpit. We actually have two more W's. The last W is this, the Word. He was called the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, of course, and I'm going to read the verse here in just a minute. He takes His Word very serious, and we ought to. If we tell somebody we'll do something, we ought to do it, or die trying, or at least call them and give them a heads up. But there's people that's told me I'll be there at this time, and, with bells on, I'll be there, da-da-da. Just waiting. No text, no call. Oh, I slipped my mind, my bad. And things like, Jesus is not like that. His Word means something. If He says, I'll save you, He'll save you. If He says, I'll answer your prayer, He'll answer your prayer. If He says, I'll comfort you, or I'll guide you, or I'll strengthen you, or I'll give you wisdom, He will. He is the Word. And Revelation 19:13 says this, and He was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and His name was called the Word of God. The Word of God. And again, it means something. It's the truth. And here's the one I was talking about. God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they put this right here on the same level with them. All right? And this verse that I'm fixing to read to you says they even put this above it. That's hard to believe. That's hard to wrap your brain around. But the Bible says in Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for the truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so again, that's why I get a little bent out of shape when somebody says that this is not the Word of God. All right, why? Because God Himself, Jesus, says, hey, I'm going to magnify this book above my name. And we get criticized, oh, you're just a book worshiper. It's Him. It's the living Word. And He's the one that says, I magnify my book above my name and so forth. And so, yeah, I take it seriously. And I don't like when the Bible says, don't diminish aught from it. Don't add to it. And so it is a big deal. And so John 1:1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life. And of course, we know the Bible says that Jesus was there. We preached a sermon on how God communicated. Back in the day where He spoke from heaven, He used the angel of the Lord, He used the prophets, He used Jesus when he was here on the earth, and then now he uses the Holy Spirit and his word, and that's how he communicates with us. And it says here, obviously, that those disciples, you know, they got to touch him. And wow. And some of even the ones that doubted and said, you know, I'm not going to believe you're you until I see your hands inside. And he just, there you go. And I mean, they got to touch him. But again, that's, you know, when I'm holding my Bible, now this is a nice one. my youngest son bought me this one when I was coming to pastor here. And he wrote me a note in the front of it. So it means a lot to me because of who it come from. And it means a lot to me because of what that note says right there. But other than that, and greater than that, this is Jesus. All right? We get to handle it. We get to read it and so forth. And so praise the Lord. He is the Word. He's the living Word. And the last one, He is worthy. He is worthy. So all the things that we've talked about from A to Z, and we'll get there tonight, is He's worthy of it. And the Bible says in Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure are all and were created. And so He created this world and everything in it, and He created it for His good pleasure. And so, you know, again, we have stories in the Bible where the man said, you know, well, I got some stuff, and look at all these barns I got my stuff in, and I'm going to tear those barns down. I'm going to build me some more stuff. Or build me some bigger barns and get some more stuff. And of course, we know he was not thinking right because his soul was required that night. And so it's not about the stuff, but that's just the way I'm a fella, a guy, or a dude, whatever you want to call it. That's just the way us dudes think. We got to take care of our stuff. You know, if we got stuff, we want a barn to put our stuff in so it don't rust. If we have some weapons, we want a case to put it in so it doesn't rust. We want to take care of our stuff. And so we see that Jesus says here, He created it all for His good pleasure. And so when we get finished mowing the grass, we sit there and we look at it. Looks good. All right. And why? That's our good pleasure. We drove that zero turn, or maybe you have a pusher still. But anyway, you got it done. Or you clean your barns out and get your stuff organized and you look at it. It brings you pleasure. And so same thing here. Jesus said, hey, look, I created it all. And I like sitting here on this throne looking down at my creation, and it brings me pleasure. I want to be in that list. I don't want to be in the list that one's not bringing me pleasure. That one's disappointing me. That one I'm going to have to correct. Ah, that one is bringing me pleasure. That's the line I want to be in. Why? Because He's worthy of it. He deserves it. He created me to bring Him good pleasure, and I want to do what He created me for. So that's all the W's. And we'll look at the X's. And you said, okay, where are we going? There's not one. All right? I'm bending it a little bit. Not bending the truth. Just bending the alphabet, okay? And here's one. He is excellent. All right? He is excellent, okay? And that's a silent, disappeared E, okay? He is excellent. And I found some verses to go with it. Psalm 8:1. Psalm 8:1 says this. Our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. So He is excellent. Another one, Job 13:11. Shall not His excellency make you afraid? And you look how good God is, it ought to make you afraid. It ought to make you stand at attention. It ought to make you want to dot all the I's, cross the T's. Why? Because if you see how excellent He is, it ought to make you afraid. And His dread fall upon you. And so again, we see that we're supposed to have that reverence of God, that respect for God. Again, I know I say it all the time, but I just don't like, hey, big man upstairs. That's just not reverent to me. Hey, you owe me. No, he's excellent, and that dread shall fall upon me. I believe if we did live a little bit of reverence or be afraid or that dread, I mean, God could. He could take us out. He could squish us like a grape if He wanted to. Now, His mercies are new every morning, praise the Lord, and so forth. But anyway, we ought to see how excellent His name. Here's another one. Isaiah 35:2. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto thee in the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, there you go, there's your name, there shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So not only is he excellent, his excellency is worthy of glory. Here's another one in the Exodus. Not only is he excellent, the Bible calls him, he is express. He is express. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding of all things by the word of his power. So again, global warming is not going to get us. We're not going to run out of stuff. It says right there, in his express image, he's upholding all things. If you like to sing that song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got me and you, brother, in his hands. He does. He's got it all. And it says here that he upholds all that, or it keeps all that going by the word of his name. He told the earth to start spinning thousands of years ago, and it's going to keep spinning until he says stop. All right. And the only time, according to the Bible, he's going to say stop is when he creates a new heaven and a new earth and so forth. So he's got it by the power of his word. And then it goes on to say, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Father, the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we see here that he, in his express image, he created salvation by himself. He didn't need any help. He didn't need any help from the baptismal pool. He doesn't need any help from our works. By himself, he purged our sins, and he sat down on the right hand of the Father and said, I got it. It's done. It's taken care of. So we see here we had to stretch it a little bit, but he is excellent and he is express, his express deeds. And why? There is actually two of these, and we'll look at the first one. It's found in Matthew 2:11, and it says this, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. And so Jesus was a young child. He was born of a virgin, and we talked about that in detail lately and so forth. But then we see here he was a young child, and it says here, with Mary his mother. And we talked about this, that how he was God's son. And we saw that even in the lineages that it was listed in the Bible, where it says that Jesus, the son of Mary, and her husband Joseph. So it said it correctly, and so forth. But we see that the wise men were looking for him, and they were guided by the star. And it says here, when they came in the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, I know some people, you know, they say, you know, don't put the wise men by the manger scene in your front yard because they weren't there that night, things like that. Again, I'm not going to split hairs over that. Somehow, some way, they made it. They followed that star. Some people say, oh, he was probably 2 years old. He wasn't a baby anymore. The Bible says young child. Again, let's not fight over that. But let's just see that he was a young child because he was born of a virgin. And God said he's going to fulfill my law. And he did it not only fulfilling it by not breaking it, but he also was our sacrifice and paid for our sins. So he was a young child. And when he was that young child, it says that he was obedient to his parents. He was a great example of that. He wowed them in the temple as a teenager, talking about the doctrines, things like that. The Bible even says as he got older, never a man spake like this man spake. And so 33 and a half years he was here on the earth as a man, but it started, as a human, but it started as a young child. And then the last why is found in 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says this, for all the promises of God are in him. All right, so everything that God promised are wrapped up in Jesus. And it says this, for all the promises of God, whether it be promise to save you, promise to keep you saved, promise to provide for you, promise every promise in the Bible. I will comfort you when you need to be comforted. I will guide you. I will give you wisdom if you'll ask me for it. All those promises are wrapped up in Jesus. And it says, for all the promises of God are in him are yea. All right, yay, or yes, as we would say it, and in him, amen, for the glory of God by us. And so, again, Jesus is everything. And so, a lot of times, if you're excited about something and you've been praying for something or you've been wanting something and you get it, yes! All right, you give that double fist pump, you actually hit the golf ball, yes! I just usually practice swing and I miss it every time, but I actually finally hit it. So you're celebrating. You say yes. That's what this verse is saying. God promised you a lot of promises, and they're all wrapped up in His Son. And His Son's perfect. His Son's going to be on time. His Son's going to do it exactly like it needs to be done. His Son is going to be... And you can just say, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and yes, Jesus saved me. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and yes, Jesus gave me the woman that I was supposed to be married to. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and yes, God led me to Kentucky to be the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I could just keep on going. And it's all about Jesus. And I could just say, yes. I feel like, I won't get into that. But obviously, y'all know we're moving. And we put an offer in on this one over here. And there's mold in it. No. All right? We put an offer in on this one over here. And they took a lower offer so it could stay in the house. That's a no. And this one wasn't even on the market when we were looking. And lo and behold, it came up. And God showed us the house. Yes. All right? So pray and pray and pray. And then when that comes through, it says here, for all the promises of God are in Him, are yea. You can say, and then the Bible says it even, and say amen, and glory to God, and all that stuff. So yes, amen, glory to God is all wrapped up in Jesus. And the last one we'll look at tonight is the Z of Jesus Christ's name. And it's found in Isaiah 37:32. And it says this, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, and here it is, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And so that goes right along with the yes or the yay. That zeal that we have, it's all about Jesus. And so I've had people tell me this before. I don't know that I believe what you believe, but I can tell you believe it. And they're like, the zeal, it's real. You can't make that up. And they say, I've been watching you for years, or I've been, just kind of sitting back. And, again, I don't know that I believe what you believe, but I believe you believe it. And that's exactly, obviously, in depth more would be the zeal in Jesus. Everything is about Him. And we can be excited about it, and we can have zeal about it. I've heard preachers say this, are you saved? Yeah. Well, I tell your face. Well, tell your excitement level. Where's that zeal? I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. We ought to have zeal. And again, that's all wrapped up in Jesus, because that wouldn't be possible to go to heaven if it wasn't for Jesus. So it says here, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. It may just be a few people. It may just be a small group. And that's what the remnant is. But it says here that they that escape out of Mount Zion, they're going to come out. They're going to be excited about it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And so what's in a name? A testimony. And Jesus has a wonderful testimony. He has a reputation, and we ought to brag about it. Obviously, His personality, that He loves us, and He cares for us, and He wants to comfort us, and He wants to guide us, and He wants to protect us. All those things is in his personality. He's got that. And of course, He's got character. He is character. He always does the right thing. And whatever hat that Jesus needs to put on, He's just right there. It's kind of like, I only had two kids. Some of you had three, some of you had four, some of you had five. We could keep on going and so forth. And you had a lot more to take care of. It spread you a little thinner. And the Bible says that the devil walks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And so he has to walk. And he's not omniscient and omnipresent and all those attributes that God has. He's not that. So he has to walk to and fro. But if you look over in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth to show His arm mighty. So the devil's running around like a termite in a yo-yo, or a chicken with his head cut off, trying to distract, things like that. And God's just sitting there, His eyes just watching. All right, and He's going to take care of us. So whatever hat He needs to put on, He didn't forget about us. Nothing that happens in our life slipped up on Him. He can say, oh, that person needs some comfort. I'll put my comforting hat on. That person needs some guidance. I'll just put my guidance hat on. That person needs some wisdom. I'll put my school teacher hat on and teach them something. That person needs some encouragement. So I'll put my encouragement hat on. I mean, it just goes. And we went A through Z. And those of you that has heard them all, only one that I had to twist a little bit was the X. But I think he is excellent. And I think he is express and so forth. But Jesus is everything. And he will help you through everything that you're going through. He will guide you in every decision that you need to make. Just ask him. He'll put on whatever hat he needs. And so praise the Lord for the ABCs, XYZs of Jesus' name. Let's just go around. We've got a lot of material now, nine weeks of it, nine sermons of it, that we can go around and brag on Jesus and lift him up. And that's what we're supposed to do. A lot of people like to go thinking, well, I've developed this relationship, or I've found these verses, and I've developed this scheme, and I've developed this habit. Don't do that. That's not going to help anybody. But Jesus will. And say, Jesus is this, and Jesus is that, and Jesus can do, and Jesus will, and Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. Lift up the name of Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, all these things that we've talked about, praise the Lord that they're all in the Bible, and we can take advantage of them, we can claim them, we can use them, we can lean on them. Anything that we need, it's all in you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to go through the rest of our life, here on the earth, lifting you up and leaning on you, and let you develop us into the Christian you want us to be. Let's all stand. If you'd like to come pray, Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. The altar is open. Just come thank the Lord for what all he is, if you would like to.